Azure podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Joe from StartupRadio.ho, your startup podcast and YouTube blog from Germany, as well as the host of the world's first internet radio station dedicated to startups and tech companies. How to learn more about this? Just go down here in the show notes. There you'll find a link to our link tree. And there you can find all the options, including our newly published Alexa skill, where you just have to say, Alexa, play Startup Radio, and we will be on your smart speaker. With me today on your smart speaker, likely, is Benny. Hey, how you doing?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and I completely forgot, everybody who's watching this, please leave us a nice comment, a thumbs up, and a good review. And if you haven't done so already, make sure to like and subscribe. As people can tell that are one, watching on YouTube, and second, no, Hamburg, they can tell you are located in lovely Hamburg, as we can see in the window back behind you, right?
Yeah, right. I'm based in Hamburg, and I have a very good place here, right in the city center. Right behind me is the town hall, and all the good places in Hamburg are just around our office. So pretty proud to be here.
We may add, many people have not been to Germany or Hamburg at all that listen to our podcast. So we may add that Hamburg is world famous for its enjoyment mile, its enjoyment street called the Reeperbahn. Is it also close to you?
So yeah, the Reeperbahn is like, I would say like 400 meters down this way. So yeah, I can see it from here.
Pretty good, pretty good. We are here today to talk about your startup, Nect. But before we get to that, as always, I've been looking a little bit through your published CV on LinkedIn, and I found a lot of interesting stuff. As always, everybody who would like to reach out to you, go down here in the show notes. There is a link to our blog post, and on our blog post, you will find a link to your personal LinkedIn profile. I've seen a lot like Scrum, lots of Scrum, lots of insurance, and we may already step a little bit ahead of us and tell Nect is not an insurtech. But tell us a little bit about your time in insurance, and what did you learn from there? How did it drive you? How did it form you?
So basically, I'm really born and raised in insurance because my parents have been working in the insurance industry. So I was already running in my diapers in the insurance company where my parents were working. And this is also the place where I started my traineeship. And then I've stayed there for 10 years, but I'm a software engineer. So I never sold any insurances. I always just worked on the tech side of insurance. And I always thought that this is a great place to work in tech because obviously it's not on the edge of the newest things in tech, but what are you doing has a great impact on a lot of people. Like most insurance companies in Germany have a very, very great user base. So for example, the insurance I was working for has 14 million customers. So when I released an app with my team, it targeted 40 million of our customers at the same time. So what are you doing has a great impact on users. And that was a great feeling working in tech and having such a high impact. And this has also been where the idea got born. So the last 3 years of my career there, I was responsible for the app development, and we've seen that the apps did a great job per se, but it was for the users, they had a hard time to get into the app, so to do the registration, because there was high compliance needs to get into the insurance apps, but on the market, you only found solutions targeting the banking industry. So you don't have the specific solution for the insurance industry, because the insurance industry needed a very low price and not that high of compliance that you needed in the banking industry. So all solutions targeting the banking industry had a very high level of compliance and thus a very high level of price. So, and that was the born of the idea to have something in between, to have a solution complying with all the needs of the insurance industry, but on the other hand, being very cost efficient.
We may add for our audience out there that in Germany, as you talked about compliance, you have to comply with laws and they require a proper identification of, for example, you when you open a bank account. So there is usually a video chat involved where you have to hold your ID card, Bundespersonalausweis, which has many reflection spaces on it. And so the person on the other side can tell, yes, he is actually a person he is supposed to be, and he has a valid ID document there. That something like this is what you guys are actually offering.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, the idea was, as we started, the security of having a video chat showing your ID card is very high. But due to the fact that a human being needs to check the ID card and has to be in place 24/7, makes the process very, very costly. And on the other hand, users had to wait for a free service agent all the time. So we thought video ident is a great idea, but let's put some AI magic on it to make it automatic without the human being in the loop. So it can be very, very, very low price. And on the other hand, the user never has to wait, because waiting for a user is the most prominent point of breaking out of the process.
Actually, I've never given any thought to this until now. There are poor souls out there sitting between like midnight and 4 a.m. German time, somewhere around here in Germany, and waiting for somebody to call them for online identification. Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, what we see in the statistics is that really Monday 8 a.m. is really the rush hour. So everybody is rushing on like the identity verification service providers amongst all service providers in Germany. It's Monday, 8 a.m. People start to rush on opening up bank accounts, doing insurance contracts, whatever. But you also see from time to time people doing their stuff on like a Saturday night. So if you want to do your paperwork and stuff like that, maybe you need some information from your service, from your insurance company, or you need some information from your public health insurer or something like that for the tax filing, for example. Like, and then you're sitting there and want to make a check mark below your to-do list, but you can't, because you can't do the identity verification to access your data. And you always need to verify that the people who want to access the data is really the person who is allowed to access this specific data. So you have a lot of people doing it in the night.
I was curious, where is actually the real low point of light registration? Is it like Sunday morning, like 4 a.m., 5 a.m.? Or is it that people actually take time off and it's during the week, it's during weekday sometime? Or when is it?
We see that you really can see if it's like serious business or if it's like fun time. So if it's like serious business, like insurance companies or like banks, you see the low on Saturday around noon. But if you're looking at like gambling or where you have to verify your age, I don't want to go into details here now, but if you look at websites like that, you really see that this is happening at the weekend. So people are doing their paperwork on the weekdays and doing their fun time on the weekend. And you can really see that in the identity verification space and confirm that people are behaving exactly on time plans, so to say.
I see. So basically, you already told us a little bit about the idea, taking the human out of loop, putting AI in it. But where did the idea come from? Because I've seen you have one co-founder at Nect. And how did you guys develop the idea? I mean, it's Hamburg. Did you have a brainstorming session over a cup of tea?
No. So Carlo, my co-founder, is based in Delmenhorst, which is a city next to Bremen. But we know each other for like 14 years. So our wives went to school together. And in some day, in I think it was 2015, we pushed our child in a stroller and was talking about what is the next step in life, so to say. And so we came up with the point that we are now both working like 10 years as a normal employee. And we thought like the next step to really have a big impact is to found a company. So in 2015, we started like, okay, what could be the idea of our company? And then I came up with the idea of having a new form of identity verification for the German insurance industry. And that's when we started in 2016, joining the InsurTech Accelerator in Munich.
That is almost too good to be true. Develop the startup idea while pushing the strollers of their babies. That is quite cool. Joining the InsurTech Hub in Munich. How hard did you make the decision for yourself to actually leave insurance that you've spent, like you said, more than a decade, or basically including your parents all your life in? How hard was it for you to leave the insurance business and say, okay, let's do something more or less related, but actually different?
So I always had the idea in mind to be a founder one day. So, and in this specific case, it was a lucky situation for me that everything went so fast from the point of being accepted for the accelerator to be needed to start inside the accelerator. The time frame was so short that there was not much of a room to think about, am I on the right path now? You just had to make. Because we got the information that we got accepted for the accelerator on like start of June. It was like the 3rd or 4th of June. And then we had to move from Hamburg to Munich and start in the InsurTech Accelerator in Munich like on the 20th of June. So we had like roughly 2 weeks to move to Munich to cancel our jobs and stuff like that. So it was such a short time frame that we haven't had any time to sit down and think about our situation. We just worked on it to make it happen.
I see. And as people can already tell from the headlines, you are the most downloaded self-ident app in Germany, overtaking a few established players. And first, how many downloads did you actually get?
That's sometimes close numbers, right? But we roughly do 20,000 idents a day as of now, which also results in like 20,000 downloads a day. So as of now, we are roughly adding users in like 200 to 300,000 users a month, which is one of our KPIs is the user base. It's not only like the transactions we do with the identity verification, but it's also like how many users download the app and stay inside the app because they can reuse their verified identity. So if you verify with our solution, your identity with insurance A, you can reuse your Nect app to be used at insurance B and be even faster, right? So that's one of our biggest KPIs, to have a lot of users inside the Nect app to have the Nect ID usable across the nation, right?
That is pretty cool. I have one question. Due to your recent experience involving the small hands of my baby boy and a street and a crash display afterwards, can you actually move like your Nect app from one device to another, or is the ID tied to the app and the device?
So as of now, due to compliance regulations and stuff like that, it's tied to the device. But we are working on that you can make it portable between all your devices, or if you get a new device, that you can port it to your new device. But on the other hand, our identity verification process itself, it's so easy that it's not a big deal to do another fresh identity verification on a new device. But obviously, the goal should be that it's a portable ID. But as of now, it's tied to the device.
Mm-hmm. I see. Because I had this happen with several apps with me when my phone broke. So that's why I was asking. We got a little bit ahead of ourselves. So you guys got accepted at the InsurTech Hub in Munich. And how did the story unfold? Because I assume at one point you finished your program there and you moved back to Hamburg, as your background already tells.
Exactly. Yeah, so after the 6 months in Munich, we decided to go back to Hamburg because our family stayed here, and it's a great city. So well, I stay in Munich. Hamburg is also a great city, and we had our family here, so we wanted to move back. And for us, it was also a very great decision in looking back at it, because we got a government grant in 2017 from the city of Hamburg, which made it possible to hire the first employees. And from there on, it really got rolling. So then in 2017, by the end, so December 2017, we got our seed funding with Dieter von Holzbrink Ventures. And in 2018, we went finally live with the R&V Insurance Group, which is the top 5 insurer here in Germany. And this was really a great reference, right? It is one of the biggest insurers, but also on the other hand, it's one of the most well-known brands in Germany. So it's a great reference for our solution. And from there on, it really got rolling, and we onboarded a lot of new customers. But I have to say, it's like we're now live with 40 customers, but it's all like the big names. It's like Hook Coburg, Nürnberger. So Hook Coburg has 11 million customers. Nürnberger has like 6 million or 7 million customers. And stuff like that. So ADAC has 22 million customers. So it's the ADAC alone is bigger than some countries in the world, right? So we have a lot of very big customers. And lately, we also added some government services, like from the Federal Agency of Unemployment and for the Corona Instant Help, so that the government pays the companies a certain amount of money to help them through the hard time of Corona.
Uh-huh, I see. We may add, for everybody who doesn't know this, Hook Coburg Nürnberger, they are insurance companies here in Germany where ADAC is the roadside assistance. So it's an association, and they have cars driving all around in Germany, and when car breaks down and you're a member, they help you most of the time free of charge. I think it's comparable to the AAA in the US. So it's basically a very big organization. And for all of them, you offer the identification, including like the Federal Unemployment Agency, the Agentur für Arbeit, their identification via AI. I would be a little bit curious how people try to trick you, and how you taught your program to actually get around those tricks, because I do assume at the very beginning somebody was maybe smart enough to hold up a tablet or something like this. What did you experience there?
So yeah, I mean, we look at the video identification solution and what is the most prominent attack vectors to trick the video identity solution. And it is basically social engineering. So tricking a real person into the process and catching the data to open up a bank account under their name, but with my credentials. And the other attack vector is basically using like digital manipulation, like deepfakes. And we really made sure to look at the deepfake situation. How can we prevent digital manipulation in our process? And therefore, we filed 2 patents. So what we do is not only to check if there's a manipulation in place on the digital files, but we also make sure that the recording of your ID card or the recording of your face is really made in this point in time with a certain device, so that you can't use pre-recorded material and those may be fake material. And on the other hand, that you can't use a live stream of another camera, which maybe is also manipulated. So that is one of the parts we really make sure that you use the device in the manner how we sort of you should use your device. And on the other hand, we do certain kinds of liveness checks. So most of our competitors are using like you have to move your face. With our solution, we ask the user to say two random words. On the one hand, this is very user-friendly because if you move your face, some people have like trouble to move in the right direction. And those like, where do I have to move now? I mean, you have to think.
Yeah, left. No, the other left.
Yeah, the other left. I mean, you have to think about that. Identity verification is not like only made for like the young guy being very experienced with like all the smartphones and stuff. You also have like your grandparents or whatever who needs to access, especially in the times of Corona, who needs to access their insurance company, right? So it have to be very easy for all kind of people. So we thought like just speaking words is very easy for most of the people. And on the other hand, it gives you a high variancy because as an attacker, you don't know what words has to be said, but the movement you can assume. I mean, it's left, right, up, down. I just need a 3D picture of your face and I can make all the movements. But your face and your lips move in a certain way if you speak words. So it's not only speech to text, it's really like how your face moves when you say words. And this also helps to detect deepfakes because deepfakes, professional deepfakes are pretty hard to do when you have a lot of movement in the face.
I see. And so, for example, you can identify a person by telling them to say Startup Radio and Bockwurst.
So to say, yeah. it's a very specific list of words, which we, I don't know what the English word for that is, but Verband der Logopäden. So it's like, people who knows which words are easy to speak. So we made a list of easy to speak words and where's a lot of movement in the face when you say the words. But it's like you said, like it's smartphone, Personalausweis, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's a speech therapist you're referring to, Logopäde in German. And actually, I do believe a lot of startups with very strange names may consult some speech therapist before they choosing actually the name. Admittedly is on the better side of that. We've been talking now a little bit where you come from, what you guys are doing. What are your next steps? Are you looking to expand? Is your tool applicable in Europe? Are you also looking for investments for that and so on and so forth?
Yeah, so the two biggest points on our agenda are as of now really to have our second product, which will be e-signatures, so that you can sign your contracts with our solution. And on the other hand, going international. So as of now, we're German only. So the next step really for us is to go international. And I would say it's as of now the European Union, because we have common law for identity and signature processes in the European Union, which makes it more easier for us to go international in the European Union than other countries.
Mm-hmm. I see. And you're also looking for funding for this expansion?
So as of now, we're working profitable. So we can grow based on our revenue. I would expect that by the end of the year, when we have the final strategy, how we can expand in the European Union, that this can be the time of raising another round to really have the funding to do an explosion in like being international. And I really see that the space or the identity verification space as of now is really hot. Like you just saw like two big funding rounds, one in the US, like the ID Seed.me funding round, about like $150 million, I think. And there was another one some weeks ago, also around 100 million. So the identity verification space as of now is pretty hot. So I see good chance that we can raise a good round.
Mm-hmm. I see. And everybody who'd like to learn more can go down here in the show notes and learn more about you guys, reach out to you directly. And as always, we do our best to give you links in our podcast show notes as well, but they're limited. Not always links are working. So make sure to hit www.startuprate.io. And there you can find in the blog post the post with Benny and all the show notes. Benny, was just a pleasure having you. I may have forgotten to say that this recording is in media partnership with Hamburg Startups. Thank you very much to them. And it was just a pleasure having you. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure to talk to you. And see you soon.
See you soon. Keep us updated. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you are a professional looking at the European startup scene, Germany is a place you cannot miss. Fortunately for you, there is StartupRad.io, the authority on German startups. This English-only podcast brings you fresh interviews each week. Most likely, you have never heard or read anything on these startups before in English, but you will in the future. Be ahead of the curve and subscribe to StartupRad.io podcast, or check for the StartupRad.io internet radio station. Check your Alexa for the StartupRad.io skill as well.